are thankful today that you are our Lord, that you are our King, that you are mighty in battle. How wonderful it is that we can gather in this place to give worship. Thank you for that message and song that our choir and orchestra and Kenneth led us in. And Father, I pray that as we open up your word now, that you would speak to us from it. Help us to see and to hear and to understand what your Holy Spirit would want to teach us today about how we can reconnect with you. In Jesus' good name we pray, amen and amen. Take your copy of God's Word, look with me in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, we're going to read a parable this morning that Jesus taught, and we will hopefully learn from it. And we're spending a few weeks on this idea of being reconnected, getting reconnected with God. We may need that reconnection and the chance that we have become disconnected from God. The relationship is still there, but maybe the fellowship needs some work. And even if you don't feel disconnected this morning, you ain't there yet, okay? You're still not perfect. You and I have not arrived, and we have some work to do when it comes to our relationship with Jesus to make sure that we are connected to him. Because our natural inclination is to drift. If you do nothing in your fellowship with God, if you think, okay, well, I'm just going to let it play out how it's going to play out, it will always, without fail, lead you to drifting. You have to be intentional to have this connection, to have this fellowship be what God desired and designed it to be. So God has given us some things that we call spiritual disciplines, and the purpose of those spiritual disciplines, they are simply habits that we're to get involved in our spiritual lives. Then the purpose of those is to keep us connected to God, to keep our fellowship close with God. There are a lot of those spiritual disciplines that we could think about, and over the course of ministry and preaching, we cover a lot of them, but specifically in these few weeks, we're focusing in on four of them, and last week we looked at Scripture, and today we're going to think about how we can reconnect with God through stewardship. How many of you just grabbed your wallet right then? Because when you hear the word stewardship, your mind goes to money and the practice of giving. And that's certainly part of the paradigm of stewardship. However, as I hope to show you this morning, there is way more to stewardship than a tithe or an offering. See, James tells us this. We looked at James last week, and in that same letter he wrote, he also said this in James 1:17. He said, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. Understand, there is nothing good in your life that you have received that has not come to you from the good hand of a great God. Every good gift that you enjoy, every blessing in your life, is not manufactured by you. It comes to you from the hand of God. Now, I'll admit, I don't really fully understand, or even maybe even partly understand, why God would seek to bless us as he does, but I think that Scripture does help us understand maybe a little bit of why he does that. And I go all the way back to Abraham, where God told Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and then you are going to be a blessing to others. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. The gifts of God that he extends to us are designed by God to be used for the glory of God. You see, every blessing in your life, every good and perfect gift that we enjoy from God's hand is something that God has entrusted to us with the expectation that we will steward that blessing well. In a nutshell, and I'm not going to dismiss us after this, we're going to crack open the nut a little bit later, but in a nutshell, overall Scripture and specifically Jesus teach us that God's goodness to us, watch this, should generate generosity from us. That's the basic teaching of Scripture when it comes to stewardship is that.
is that God's goodness to us should generate generosity from us. As a result of receiving the grace of God, we are to be extensions of His grace to those around us. And the way we extend that grace of God is by being faithful and stewarding well the gifts that we receive from God's hand. Jesus is going to teach us that this morning from Luke chapter 19. Let's look at verse 11. As they were listening to this, He went on to tell a parable because He was near Jerusalem, and they thought the kingdom of God was going to appear right away. It starts off by telling us why Jesus teaches this parable. Some of His disciples thought that when Jesus got to Jerusalem, that when He got there, He was going to establish His kingdom and commence His reign. Jesus, however, knew better. Jesus knew what was really waiting for Him in Jerusalem. Jesus knew that He was about to be rejected. Jesus knew that He was about to be falsely tried. Jesus knew that He was going to be accused. Jesus knew that He was going to offer His life on the cross. This parable instructs followers of Jesus of what we should know between the cross and His return. And Jesus is going to teach them this parable to clarify their misunderstanding. Look at verse 12. Therefore, He, Jesus, said, here's His parable. A noble man traveled to a far country to receive for himself authority to be king and then to return. He called 10 of his servants, gave them 10 minas, and told them, engage in business until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we don't want this man to rule over us. At his return, having received the authority to be king, he summoned those servants he had given the money to so that he could find out how much they had made in business. The first came forward and said, Master, your mina has earned 10 more minas. Well done, good servant, he told him. Because you have been faithful in a very small matter, have authority over 10 towns. Now notice at the outset, notice how generous the master is, the nobleman who became king, in this parable. He's gracing the lives of his servants that was the lowest rung of the social ladder, and he's gracing them with these wonderful gifts. Look at how wealthy he is. He distributed 10 minions. Now, I may say minions as we go through this. Wouldn't be the first time I've said something out of the pulpit I shouldn't have said. If I say minion, just go, he's an idiot, he means minya, okay? I'm not talking about the little yellow things, okay? Minyas. So if I say minions, just carry on. This guy, he gives him 10 minyas. That is roughly worth $200,000. Yeah, how many of you want a minion now, huh? Now, forget the minya, give me a minion, right? It's a lot of money. This is a wealthy nobleman. This is a wealthy master who's giving all this free cash, these minas, to his servants. Look at verse 18. The second came and said, Master, your mina has made 5 minas. So he said to him, you'll be over 5 towns. And another came and said, Master, here's your mina. I have kept it safe in a cloth because I was afraid of you since you're a harsh man. You collect what you didn't deposit and reap what you didn't sow. That's an odd response. This servant did nothing with his master's money. He put it in a handkerchief, put it in a sock drawer, and just left it there. And when he was called to give an account, he said, well, master, you're kind of a jerk, and so I just really didn't want to do anything with what you gave me. That's why I didn't do anything with your money. And the master replies in verse 22. He told him, I will condemn you by what you have said, you evil servant. If you knew I was a harsh man, collecting what I didn't deposit and reaping what I didn't sow, why then didn't you put my money in the bank? And when I returned, I would have collected it with interest. You could have at least put the mina in a bank or a mutual fund. You could have drawn some interest, but you did nothing. Verse 24. So he said to those standing there, take the mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. But they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas. I tell you, that to everyone who has, more will be given. If the one who does not have, even what he does have will be taken away. But bring here these enemies of mine who did not want me to rule over them and slaughter them in my presence. those who steward God's gift and his grace receive, Jesus says, even more, but those who squander the gifts of God's grace lose their ability to enjoy it. This is a reference to the very end of that parable. This is a reference to the final judgment. Notice the severity that this master has. Jesus is certainly generous, and he certainly blesses those who trust him, but those who refuse him will find him to be an enemy on the last day. Now, what do we do with this parable? What does it speak to our lives today? And I want you to think in terms of the minyas that God has given to you. Let's break it down in a few areas. First, let's think about this. Let's think about the meaning of the minyas. What does it mean when Jesus is talking about this? What do these minyas represent? Here's what is very important. Your minyas are whatever resources or gifts that God has given you so you can know him and make him known. I want to repeat that. I want you to hear it. When we talk about minyas in this parable, God has given you minyas. He's given you resources. He's given you gifts of his grace in order to know him and to make him known. Not for people to know you, but to know him and to make him known. That could be the kind of home in which you grew up. It could be the kind of church that exposed you to the gospel. It could be the job that you have. It includes the income that you generate. It could be the country in which you live, the freedoms which you enjoy. Now preachers like to try to break this down, and we do it in terms of three T's. When you think about the minyas, the meaning of the minyas, we refer to them as time, treasure, and talent. Think about that. Your minyas include your time. Time refers to the focus of your life. I want you to think about these questions. Don't answer them out loud, but think about them. What are you doing with your days? What are you doing with your career? What are you doing with your retirement? What does your calendar say that you prioritize? What does your day say is valuable to you? God has given us a minya in our time, the focus of our life. God's given us the minya of our treasure. We refer to that as the furnishings of your life. Here's where we get real fun. How does your money get spent? What's your bank account say about your priorities? Money talks. Some of y'all say, yeah, it says goodbye. Amen, right? Can you get a witness? Money talks. What does yours say is important to you? What about your talent? That refers to the function of your life. How are you using the skills, abilities, your career for the advancement of God's kingdom? Do you know what your spiritual gift is? If you're a follower of Jesus, you have one. Do you know what it is, and are you using it? That's the meaning of the minyas. All the resources that God has given to us to know him and to make him known. Think of it in terms of your time and your treasure and your talent, because one day we will give an account to our master for how we've used our minyas to help others know him. That's the meaning of the minyas, but then we need to move to the management of the minyas. See, this parable is all about how these servants manage the resources they were given. And this parable reveals to us that there's an expectation that we would steward well what God has entrusted to us by multiplying his gifts of grace. You see, we are not responsible for how much we receive. We're not responsible for the minyas that come into us. That's the master's decision. That's his call. He decides what comes into our lives. We're responsible for taking the gifts he has given to us and multiplying them according to the abilities that he's given to us. Because notice, he gave one servant 10 minyas, he gave other 5, he commended them both. The type that they had, the amount they had, did not matter. What mattered is that they stewarded this very well. Each servant managed what they were given according to his ability. You see, our master knows that we start at different places. Jesus isn't looking for success from you as much as he's seeking stewardship from you. He's not looking so much for success as he's looking for stewardship. Don't sit on what God has entrusted to you, no matter how small you may think it is or how insignificant you may think you are. We're called to manage the minions that God has placed into our lives, because a failure to do that gives us a title, and it's not one you want on your business card or resume. Look at how Jesus, back in the parable, the king referred to the servant who did not manage and steward well. He said, "You are evil." That's a strong word. He called him in the parable evil, sinful, wicked. The servant, but watch this. What evil thing had this servant done? He didn't embezzle the money. He didn't gamble it away. He didn't spend it on drugs or alcohol. He returned 100% of what he had been given, yet Jesus calls him evil. The servant, watch, the servant is called evil not because of something he did, but because of something he did not do. It wasn't something that he did. It's what he did not do. See, a lot of us think about sin. We think about sin as being things that we do. What theologians would call sins of commission, sins that you commit. But there's also sins of omission, sins when you fail to do what God has called you to do. And the management of the minions is teaching us, if we don't get this stewardship thing down right, then we are failing to do what God has called us to. Oh, we might could say, well, I'm not out squandering anything. I'm not out doing this with it, doing that. But if you're not using it for the honor, if you're not using everything for the honor and glory of God, you're falling short of what God's called us to do. So we're called to manage these minions. So I want to ask you, have you been a good steward of? Have you managed well what God has given you for his kingdom? Would you be ready right now to stand before God and give an account for how you've managed the minions he's placed in your life? You understand the meaning of the minion. You understand our responsibility in the management of the minion. But let me take you third to the master of the minions. Because I read this parable, and it kind of strikes me, I ask a lot of questions about why Jesus said what he did in some of this. And one of the questions I ask is myself is, in this parable, what was it that kept this one servant from managing well the resources his master had given to him? A couple of them got it right, but this guy got it completely wrong. And what caused him to do that? And Scripture, as it oftentimes does, answers the question, because according to verses 21 and 22, this servant simply didn't trust his master. Recall the generosity and the wealth of the master in this parable that we talked about in our introduction. But then I want you to compare that to the master, not that's mentioned in the parable. I want you to compare that to the master who's teaching the parable. See, Jesus is setting up a contrast between the master in this parable and himself as the master, or God the Father as the master. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, where he is going to die for the sins of rebellious servants. Let me ask you, has there ever been a master more gracious than Jesus and more worthy of the entrustment of our lives? No. You will never find a master so loving and so kind. You'll never find a master so generous as King Jesus. You'll never find a king who is so loving toward his servants as King Jesus. You see, following Jesus will always involve a risk, because in order to follow Jesus, you have to take the hands of control off of your life, and you have to give control to him. If you're going to steward well, you and I, we have to stop seeing your time, treasure, and talent as assets in which to build your kingdom, and instead see them as entrustments given to you by God, by Jesus, to build God's kingdom. But you'll never get to that point unless you really believe that Jesus is the master of your life and that he is worthy of the entrustment of your life to him. You will never find, I'll tell you something else while I'm at it. If Jesus is not your master, someone or something is. All of us have a master. All of us submit our lives, and it may be yourself, and you may be a wonderful person, but I guarantee you, you're a lousy master of your life. I'm a lousy master of my life. Someone is going to be the master of your life. Why not make it Jesus, who never disappoints? Why don't we make it Jesus, who never fails? Why don't we make Jesus the master of our minions? Because he is. You see, at the end of our days, we won't give an account to each other, will we? I'm not standing before you at the end of my life. We're standing before the Lord, the master of the minions. You'll never find a master as generous as Jesus. But then let's try to understand the practical part of it. Here's the message of the minions. So we understand what Jesus is, what he's saying, but then the question becomes, what difference does that make in my life? And I'm glad you asked. How can we reconnect with God through this stewardship of life that he's given us? How can we make sure we're handling correctly and well the gifts that God has blessed us with, all the blessings from God? Here's what the parable teaches. The message of the minions. First is this. God develops you to do what he calls you to do. Okay, we've established the fact that God has called us to steward well everything he brings into our lives, our time, our treasure, our talent. God has called us to do that. We need to also understand that God develops you to do what he calls you to do. In this parable, everything that the servants needed, the master provided. In our lives, all that we need to minister in the name of our master, to accomplish the mission of our master, is already in our hands. Think about it. What if everything we need to reach our community with the gospel has already been given to us? What if everything you need to be the person God has called you to be has already been given to you? What if the resources you need to be a faithful steward of God's good gifts, what if they're already there for the taking? Guess what? They are. The minions are yours for the taking. What are you going to do with them? Not only does God develop you to do what he's called you to do, God demands an account of how we've stewarded the resources that he has entrusted to us. See, we are stewards. We're not the master. We are stewards. A steward, you know what a steward? The answer is nothing. You know what a steward owns? Nothing. A steward owns nothing, but merely manages what the master owns on the master's behalf. The relationship between owner and steward demands that the steward give an account. If that account was demanded today, how would you feel? Because God demands an account for how we've stewarded. But God also desires for us to multiply what he's entrusted to us. See, every good and perfect gift is from above. Every. Your car is from above. You may think it came from below. And if you're having to pay $800 a month, it may have. I don't know. But it comes from above. Your bank account comes from God. Your clothes is from above. The roof over your head, it's a gift from God. The food that you eat is from God. Maybe not necessarily God's desire for the day for you to eat 14 ding-dongs, but, and I speak from personal experience, it is from God. Try to take a breath without God filling your lungs with air. Guess what? You can't. Every good and perfect gift we enjoy is from above. God owns it all, 100%. So here's a great question, and this is a question that this is my request for you this week. One of my requests, I may make a few more later, but one of my requests is this. I want you to ask this question. I plan to do it myself. I would love for you to spend time this week of just listing your blessings, listing those gifts that come into your life from God, and then asking the question, God, what is your purpose in giving me this? God, what is your purpose in putting a roof over my head? God, what is your purpose for bringing this person into my life? And that could be a loaded question, I know, but you think about the blessings. We're talking about blessings, not burdens, okay? God, what is your purpose in bringing this to me? Because whatever your minions look like, God has entrusted to you your time, talent, and treasures so that you can know him and make him known. Everything God gives you is for that purpose. And so now what your task is to do is to multiply what he has entrusted to you. How do I do that? Good question. God's given you salvation. Multiply it by sharing it and making disciples. God has maybe He's given you Bible knowledge, multiplied, and teach other people what he has shared with you. Maybe God has blessed you with money. Multiply it by giving to God's church and to God's kingdom. God has given you a career. Multiply it by using that career to point others to Jesus. Maybe God has given you retirement. That retirement's not for you to sit on your laurels. That retirement's for you to bring honor and glory to God. Use that retirement to point people to Jesus. Look, when God is done with you, he'll take you home with him. So if you ain't home with him, you got work to do for him. To use everything in your life to seek to point people to Jesus. God has given you 86,400 seconds every day. Use every second that you have for the glory of God. We're going to give you some resources to help you do that, especially as it relates to your time, your treasure, and your talent. Remember, we want this to be very practical for you. This is how you reconnect. So again, there's this website that we've got, fbcmilton.org/reconnect. And if you will, we've got resources up there from last week for scripture, but now we have some new resources there for this idea of stewardship. When it comes to time, the focus of your life, already up there we've got a couple articles for you that will help you understand how you can best redeem the time because these days are evil. When it comes to the treasure of your life, the furnishings of your life, we've got some we got a couple of things there about giving, but here's the thing about the treasure of life. If you haven't been giving to God, start. That's it. Just start. You start with a tithe, 10%. You give it to the Lord. Look, and I've told you before, when you give to your church, you do more than pay a light bill and air conditioning and provide salaries, although I'm glad to have electricity. I like to have AC, as you can tell, and I don't mind getting a paycheck for what I do, all right? But that you do more than that. When you give to God through his church, you help us feed the poor. I was talking to Emma Parks, our children's minister this week, and she told me just over this last month, she has spoken with four families who've come across our ministry that are in domestic violent situations. Four in just the span of a couple of weeks. And yet we've been able to help them and minister to them because of your generosity. Not all of you, just not all of you giving, but you need to start. That's where just start. Don't make me preach 14 sermons, because I will, but don't make me do that. Just start. Do what God's called you to do. Start giving. But then when it comes to your talent, the function of your life, again, go to this website, because what we have when it comes to this aspect, we've got a spiritual gift assessment there. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, fbcmilton.org/reconnect, and there's a spiritual gift inventory. There's also a link that shows you multiple ways you can serve through your church. Some of y'all are already serving, thank you, but some of you aren't. Some of you are sitting on the sidelines. Some of you are content to sit in a pew for an hour and that be that. That's not what God's called you to do. And if that's not what God's called you to do. And so there's various ways for you to get connected to serve the Lord through your church. Because you see, this life is the only opportunity we have to manage our minyas. In eternity, you can't multiply or invest these resources to bring other people to Jesus. You can only do it right now. So why not start? You see, the reason that we are called to be good stewards is because Jesus was called to be a good steward. The greatest gift you can receive from God and steward well is a relationship with Him, which is why Jesus came to this earth. The most generous act God ever initiated was to send His Son to live the life we could not live, to die the death that we should have died because of our sin, dying in our place, so that our sin could be forgiven, so we could enter a relationship with Him. If you've never received that gift, that is your starting point. Let go of the steering wheel, the control of your life. In the words of the great theologian Carrie Underwood, let Jesus take the wheel today. Let Him take control of your life. Surrender your life to Him. Having entered that relationship with Him, remember your calling as a steward is to be faithful. You've been blessed to be a blessing. God has been so good to us because He's a good God, but also because He wants us to extend His blessings to others. What if it's you that God's going to use to show His grace to someone? What if it's you through your generosity that God's going to use to show someone how generous Jesus is? You see, you never know how God will use you as a steward. That's why every day of your life must be committed to surrendering everything to Jesus. In just a second, I'm going to pray. After I pray, we're going to sing, and the song we're going to sing is I Surrender All. I don't want you to sing this song if you don't mean it. And if you don't mean it, I'm not going to convince or convict you otherwise. I'll let the Holy Spirit do that. He's much better at that than I could ever be. But I want you to think as we prepare to sing this great hymn of surrendering everything to Jesus. Have you truly surrendered it all? Have you said, Lord, every part of my life is yours. And God, if you call me to do something that's difficult, I'm going to trust that you're going to equip me to do it. And God, if you call me to do something uncomfortable, I'm going to trust that you're going to provide me what I need. You know what area of your life you have yet to put on that altar. I know the areas of my life that I'm wanting to cling on to, and I may want to put a foot on the altar, and I may even want to get 2 feet in the altar, but I don't want to put it all on the altar. The only way that God will use us for His honor and for His glory is if we say, Lord, I surrender it all. And we trust that our Master, not like the master of this parable, but our Master is all good and all loving and all compassionate and full of kindness, and that He will prepare us to do what He's called us to do. Maybe you want to make your surrender in this altar. It's open for you. Maybe you want to make where you're sitting right now the place of your altar to surrender everything to God today. Because if we give God all, He will do amazing things in us and through us. Not for our glory, not to us, but to your name be glory for His. Let's bow. Father, I'm thankful that Jesus stewarded well His assignment, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that He lived the life we could not live and died the death we should have died. He could have called angels to take Him from that cross. He could have stopped His assignment at any time, but He knew what You had entrusted to Him to do with His life. And He spent every moment of His life to fulfill that purpose. He did that for our benefit and salvation. He also did that for an example to us, that we now have been commissioned to take and finish the task that He started. So, Father, I pray
that we would be willing to surrender all to you today. Not part of it, not half of it, not 99% of it, but all. So would you use your Holy Spirit to search my heart and to search our hearts today, to see if there is any part of us that we have not placed upon the altar and surrendered to you. And today, may we, in our own time of prayer, surrender all so that you can be honored and glorified, and we can steward well, and you'll bring people to yourself. Have your will and your way with us. In Jesus' name.